Morning.
Morning.
Page Ayin Dalet, letter Nun Aleph. We discussed this some yesterday, but we'll discuss the specific aspect of it today. Tana de Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, afilu b'shat sakana lo yishena adam et atzmo min harabanut shelo. Even in time of danger, a person should not change himself from his rabbanus. The word rabbanus, I had trouble translating it yesterday, because it means different things in different contexts, and we'll see some slight variations on it. I guess it could be translated as lordship. Rabbanus means rabbinate. It means it means leadership. It means in its negative context, as we'll see, it means to lord over someone. So a person should not change himself from his way of acting like he's important, maybe, or acting with dignity. Also, we discussed yesterday that idea of it. Shinemar, we learned from the fact that Pasuk says, "Beidayin guvraya ilech kefitu b'sarvelein pat shehon v'charbelaton," that Hananim, Mishael, and Azariah were thrown into into the furnace in their in these different clothing. The way we discussed it yesterday, the assumption was that they were wearing this clothing and they didn't take it off before being thrown into the furnace. So I thought more about we ended with the Yad Ramah, one of the Rishonim on the Gemara, and as I thought more about what he was saying, I think there might be another interpretation to it. He says, I'm going to read his exact words, Tana de Beir Elezer ben Yaakov, afilu b'shat ha-sakana al yimna adam atzmo milechabed et atzmo v'malvoshin na'im shayan oheg bahen kodem lachein b'shat rabanut. Even in time of danger, a person should not refrain from honoring himself with his fine clothing that he used to wear when he had a position of leadership. No way to know for sure, but that could possibly be interpreted even to mean that at the time they were arrested, they were not wearing their fine clothing. Maybe this was their fine clothing that they put on in the time, you know, when they went before the king. But when they were at home or in the Beis Medrash, they didn't wear this fine clothing. And when Nebuchadnezzar's police came to arrest them, they put on their fine clothing. That seems to, otherwise the Yad Ramah is very wordy. He says he should not refrain from honoring himself with the clothing that he used to wear when he was important. Almost sounds like they, you know, said, excuse me, I need to go put on my fine clothing before you arrest me, which is possible. No way to be sure about that. As we ended with yesterday, the Yad Ramah asks a question, or an implied question. He says, "Aval lehitnaheg rabanut lechatchila lo," but to behave with rabanus in the first place, that a person should not do. Why did Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah behave in this way? Either because it gave them the ability to be close to the king and lobby for the Jewish people, save lives. Or it means that it's not good to be a ruler over the Jewish people. But if a person can get a position ruling over the Goyim, good for him. Hananim, Mishael, v'Azariah, Aumat Olam Avod. Hananim, Mishael, v'Azariah were rulers over Goyim. Yesterday, Yudah asked, they were kidnapped as children and they were put into these positions. As we will see when we continue with the Gemara, perhaps in asking that question, the Yad Ramah is assuming they could have run away. Because the Gemara will discuss that possibility that they actually had the opportunity to run away. So that will be in a another shear in the near future. Why does the Yad Ramah say that a lechatchila, a person should not engage in Rabbanus? So I'm not going to try to translate it anymore, but by Rabbanus, we mean positions of authority, lording over other people, leadership, not necessarily.
Not like shul president.
We'll see. No, I think it would include shul president. I think it would. So we'll see. Okay. So why would you think not? So there are two reasons. One is a Gemara in Brachos, and second is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And so for the rest of today, that's what I want to talk about. First, Gemara in Brachos, Daf Nun Hey, Amud Aleph, says, Gimel Dvarim Mekatzrim Yamav Shnotav Shel Adam. There are three things that shorten a person's life. A person is given a Sefer Torah to read and he doesn't read, which in our language would mean somebody who is called for an aliyah and he refuses to go up for the aliyah. A person who's given the cup of wine to lead the benching and he refuses to lead the benching. And a person who acts in a way of Rabbanus. Now the language here, to be very precise with the language, umanhig atzmo b'rabanut, he engages himself in Rabbanus. Marsha says, well, let me first get back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, it gives a source for each one. And then it says, "So Rabbi Chama bar Chanina said, why did Yosef die before all of his brothers? Because he placed himself in a position of leadership." So Marsha says, first Marsha asks a question. Says, "I don't understand. There are many Gemaras that say that a leader should lead with an iron fist." Okay. So why? Here Gemara seems to be suggesting that leadership is bad, and there are other Gemaras that suggests that not only is good, but if you're in a position of leadership, you should be a leader. Okay. As an aside, I mentioned yesterday, I think it was yesterday or 2 days, yesterday, a talk I once heard by Rav Moshe Eisenman, the Mashgiach of Neri Yisrael. In that same talk, he quoted, and it's not his chiddush, it's brought down a number of parshim, but I heard first from him, the Gemara Sota, at the end of Masechet Sota, it gives signs of the days before Mashiach. And one of them, it says that the face of the dog, face of the generation, will be like the face of a dog. So Rafashim will explain, what does that mean? If you walk a dog, the dog walks in front. It looks like the dog is the leader. But anytime you come to a corner, to an intersection, the dog turns around and looks back to see which way you want to go. That is a characteristic of leadership in the days before the coming of Mashiach, which is good, makes us feel good, because that's characteristic of leadership today. They're not leading. They're out front, but constantly taking polls and surveys. Maybe not the current administration, but but many previous administrations constantly taking polls and surveys to see what the people want, instead of leading. So the face of the generation, the leadership, is like a dog that's constantly looking back to see what its master wants, instead of leading, of actually leading, even though it looks like it's out front. Okay. So that is not the Jewish concept of leadership. The Jewish concept of leadership is, if you're a leader, lead. Okay. So the Marsha says, but here it seems to be criticizing leadership. So he answers, as I pointed out, and I pointed out because the Marsha pointed it out, they have to look very precisely at the language. It doesn't say who that three people's lives are shortened. It doesn't say v'hanoheg berabanut, someone who engages in leadership. It says v'manhig atzmo berabanut, someone who engages himself in leadership, somebody who seeks positions of leadership is causing his life to be cut short, which, in answer to your question about shul presidents, it goes along with my theory that anyone who wants to be shul president should not be allowed to be. I also think anyone who wants a dam for the omer shouldn't be allowed to be. I don't mean a yard site. I mean, a chazan. If he wants a daven for the omer, he shouldn't be allowed to be. But the marshal is saying that it says what the Gemara is criticizing is somebody who places himself in a position, who seeks out leadership. But then, Vikasha, because Gemara brings a proof from Yosef. Yosef didn't seek out the position of leadership. It was clearly placed upon him by Hashkacha Pratis. God put him there. So how is Gemara bringing a proof from Yosef? So the Marsha says, certainly Yosef didn't do this, didn't push himself into leadership. However, as we mentioned yesterday, the Torah and the Nevi'im are not storybooks. And if they tell us something, we have to learn something from it. So I use this to answer your question about who says Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah had time to change. Maybe they didn't. But we're learning from the fact that the Navi bothered to tell us what they're wearing that we're supposed to learn something from it. Similarly, the Marsha says that the Marsha doesn't say that. That was my own Chiddush. But the Marsha says, for the fact that the Torah tells us that Yosef died first, we have to learn something from it. So what Gemara is learning from it is that leadership can kill a person. However, not that Yosef was a person who pushed himself into a position of leadership. It's a little still a little difficult to understand the Marsha, because the Marsha is saying if leadership is placed upon you, it's not a bad thing, and you should rule with an iron fist. Well, that's exactly what happened to Yosef. It's also difficult to understand the Yad Ramah. Yad Ramah says that ruling over Goyim is okay. Well, that's what Yosef did. So so it says here in the footnote, it must be that the Gemara is criticizing the fact that he ruled over his brothers also. Where do we see that he ruled over his brothers? So Rav Kook says that the problem with leadership, the aspect of leadership that can kill a person, is that a leader sometimes has to focus on the big picture. And when you focus on the big picture, you sometimes trample on individuals. And in Yosef's case, we see that. Mara says specifically, why did Yosef die? Yosef died at 110, which is 10 years early. The quote-unquote perfect life is 120 years. And Yosef died at 110. He died 10 years early, because of the five times that he heard his brothers refer to Yaakov as your servant, and he did not object. Some learn that there are five times, and there was a translator, so it's 10 times, because they were speaking Hebrew, he was speaking Egyptian, so each time the translator translated it, it was twice. And he should have, even if he didn't have to reveal himself, he could have said, oh, I understand your father's a very great man, please don't call him your servant. So he could have, he should have objected. And specific, so you see how Yosef, focusing on the big picture of leading Egypt, feeding the people, having his dreams fulfilled, he was not able to focus on the honor of, or he lost focus. If he's criticized for it, then he was able to. Okay, but he didn't. He lost focus on the honor of the individual, and for that lack of derech eretz, it's that lack of derech eretz that can kill a person. So that is how Rukuk explains the connection to Yosef. Yes. Okay. Good question. No. Okay. And as that is
sure
in, okay, that is on, in Rav Kook's commentary on this Gemara in Brachos, on page 260. Okay, so that is one of the sources that the Yad Ramah's question was based on, in terms of the when he asked why were Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah occupying positions of leadership in the first place. And the side of the Ein Yaakov, not the ones you have, but the Vilna edition of the Ein Yaakov, there's a commentary called Chidushei HaGaonim, which collects Chidushim from other Svarim. And he points out, if you go back to our Gemara, it's okay, you close them, but the Gemara says, on the right page, our Gemara says, "Lo yishne adam et asmo min harabanut shelo." A person should not depart from his rabanus. So he quotes a sefer called Mitzudas David. I don't know what Mitzudas David that is. I looked in a sefer called Mitzudas David and didn't find it. Must be a different sefer called Mitzudas David, or I looked in the wrong place. But he says that the word shelo here would seem to be superfluous. Period. Even in time of danger, a person should not depart from Rabbanus. Gemara says, from his Rabbanus. So the Chidush HaGaonim says that the Gemara is emphasizing, do not depart from Rabbanus that was given to you. Then it's yours. Like the Marsha in Brachos says. Okay. Not talking about Rabbanus that you grabbed, leadership that you grabbed for yourself, or leadership that you pushed yourself into, but leadership that was given to you, that is Rabbanut Shelo. That is his Rabbanus. That's what he should not depart from. So Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah's position was a legitimate position because it was given to them. Now, Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yod, Shmaya v'Altalion kiblu mehem. Shmaya and Altalion received the tradition from the previous generation of Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shetach. Shmaya omer, Shmaya says, Ehov et hamelacha, love work, usna et rabanut, and hate rabanus, v'al titvada l'rashut. And don't become cozy with the government, is how most Mefarshim translate that last phrase. We're not going to talk about it. There are other explanations, but that's not our issue today. So so Rashi says, Ehov et hamelacha, love work, kidam rinan, as Gemara and Pesachim says, Pshot nevelta b'shuka v'altamar gavra ravani. Skin a carcass in the shuk, in the market, if it's necessary to earn your living that way, and don't say, I'm too important to work, I'm too important for manual labor, I'm too important to be a construction worker, a janitor, and so on. I once heard Rabbi Meir Kahana speak, and he said, the problem with the Jewish people today is everyone needs to be a doctor and a lawyer and an accountant, and nobody wants to be a shoemaker and a tailor and so on. And unfortunately, you go to Israel, a lot of the lowlier jobs, they bring in foreign workers because Jews don't want to do them. Right? So our Mishnah is teaching us that that's not the correct way. Okay? A person should love work and even a lowly job, and not say I'm too important for it. And then Sinat Rabbanut, Rashi says, Lafisha Rabbanut Mekaveret et Balea, because Rabbanus buries those who hold the position, as and he brings the Gemara in Brachos that we just read. So what kind of Rabbanus are we talking about here? So Rabbeinu B'chaye in Parsha Shmos, on the discussion where Moshe Rabbeinu refuses to be appointed to take Bnei Yisrael out of Egypt. So the Rabbeinu B'chaye says you should hate positions of authority. And don't go seeking it out. Don't take it by force. Until others give it to you. Same thing Marsha said, or the Marsha said the same thing Rabbeinu B'chaye is saying. Rabbeinu B'chaye came first. That's what the when Mishnah says Snat Ravanut, that's what it's talking about. According to the way the Marsha and Rabbeinu B'chaye are learning, Yad Rama's question wasn't even a question, because Hananya, Mishael, and Zarya, they didn't take the leadership for themselves. It was given to them. So it wouldn't even be a question, unless we say, well, why didn't they run away? But it sounds like they would have no reason to run away. This position was given to them, and why shouldn't they take it? So leadership doesn't necessarily come with cover. You know, the joke. Okay, that's true. Okay, but that's true. Are we talking here about the kavod of leadership? So according to some commentaries, we are. We'll see. Okay. But not doesn't necessarily follow. You know, the joke about the guy who comes into town. And in Europe, they didn't have shul presidents. They had town presidents. The Jewish communities, each Jewish community had a president. My wife's great-grandfather was a president of the Jewish community in his town. He was very wealthy. He owned a radio. That was a sign of wealth in those days.
Okay.
I don't know if there was anything to listen to, but he owned a radio. So the guy comes into town and says, where does the president live? And the first person says, that no goodnik, he's down there three blocks and turn right. So the person goes three blocks and turns right and says, where does the president live? And the other person says, that crook, it's the fourth house on the right. Whatever, probably a few more times in there, but I'll keep it short. Finally, he finds the president, he transacts whatever business he has, and the president's, and then he says, by the way, why do you keep this position of president? And the president says, what do you mean, for the honor? Okay. So it doesn't always come with honor. In any event, the Meiri on that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, he puts this phrase, Snat Rabbanut, together with the previous phrase, Ehovet Malacha, love work. And he says, since a person needs to work, don't worry about whether your work is going to make you important. As long as it's a honest job, even skinning carcasses in the market, take that job. Don't think I need a job that's going to make me, that's going to make me important. So it's not even necessarily talking about leadership over people at all. It's not even saying necessarily avoid leadership. It's saying when you're looking for a job, don't think you need an important job. Take any job that's an honest living. The Rush Bates, another Rishon, Rav Shimshon ben Tzemach, he says on this mission of Snad Ravanut, V'chalila, God forbid, limnol adam shlo yishtadel lavo lidei Ravanut shatra. It doesn't mean don't be a rabbi, don't be a Rosh Yeshiva. God forbid, don't think it means that, okay, because the word Rabbanus, as I said, also means rabbinate. God forbid, don't think that's what it's talking about. It's talking about ruling over the congregation in worldly matters. That's the position that one should avoid. Really, in chronological order, should have started with, before the commentaries on Pirkei Avos, the sefer called Avot D'Rabbi Natan. Just like in the Gemara, we have the Mishnayos and Brisas. The Brisas are the teachings of the people in the Mishnah are called Tanaim. The Brisos are the teachings of the Tanaim that did not make it into the Mishnah. So Avos Rabbi Nasan is teachings of Tanaim that did not make it into Pirkei Avos. It's like a Brisa on Pirkei Avos. It's a parallel work from the same historical period as the Mishnah. So Avos Rabbi Nasan in Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah or Brisa Beis, says, Usnat Ravanut Ketzad, how so that one should despise Rabbanus? Now, before we get to the answer, well, so I'm going to explain. The commentary, so he brings here, there's a commentary called Tosefis Or, which quotes a commentary called Avos Rosh. I'm not sure who it is. He explains, what's the question? Ketzad, how so? Because the Gemara says that a person who's capable of being a rabbi and refuses to be, chayiv misa. A person who is not capable of being a rabbi and becomes one, well, is also chayiv misa. But the my father's rebbe said that there was a guy in his yeshiva, probably, I don't know, in Europe or in America, I'm not sure, who told the Rosh Shiva, I want to leave the yeshiva and become a rabbi. The Rosh Shiva told him, this is, of course, many years ago, but the idea still holds. He says, you've learned enough to be a $50,000 rabbi. If you stay in yeshiva another 5 years, you'll know enough to be a $5,000 rabbi. If you get it, if not, I'll leave it. But a person who's capable of being a rabbi, of being a Rosh Shiva, is obligated to be. Otherwise he's in trouble with Hashem. So the Avos Rabbi Nasan is saying, Ketzad, how so? In what respect am I telling you to avoid Rabbanus? I'm not telling you not to do it if you're capable. He's understanding Rabbanus literally as the rabbinate. Okay, unlike the Rosh Beitz who said it doesn't mean that, it means secular leadership. So the Avos Rabbi Nasan answers, Milamed Shlo Yaniach Adam Atara Me'atzmo Berosho. Teaching that a person should not put the crown on his head by himself. But let others put the crown on his head. Shinemar, Yahalel Chazar V'lo Picha, Nochri V'al Svatecha. Pasuk Mishle says, let the stranger praise you, not your own mouth. Let the foreigner praise you and not your lips. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Kol HaMagviah Atzmo Al Divrei Torah L'mahu Domet L'Nevela Mushlechet Baderech. A person who elevates himself over Divrei Torah, a person who pushes his way into the Rosh Yeshiva position, he's like a carcass in the street. Passers by hold their nose and distance themselves. It says in Mishle, if you were like a carcass in elevating yourself. Amarle ben Azai, Darshehu min Yanos. Ben Azai said to Rekiva, you could have interpreted this pasuk in its context in a good way. Im nabel adam atzmal divrei Torah, bochel tzvarim chorvim, lovesh bgadim tzoim, yoshev u'meshamer al petach shel chachamim, ulover v'shav omer, shema shotehu zeh, l'sof atam otzei kol tzorak hula imro. If a person kills himself over Torah, makes himself like a carcass, and eats cheap food, and doesn't worry about his clothing, and is always sitting at the doorways of Talmid Chachamim, passers-by will say, what kind of lunatic is this? But in the end, the entire Torah will be found in such a person. So that's Ibn Azai is suggesting a different interpretation for the pasuk, but the point of the Avos Rinasan is, as the other commentary said, or as the commentaries later said, that the person should not seek out the crown for himself, but rather should, if it's placed on him by others, then it's fine. So again, if you learn that way, it's not, there's no contradiction between those ideas and our Gemara at all. One final source that says essentially the same thing, just a different, slightly different nuance. Again, this is from a commentary on Pirkei Avos called Yain Levanon by Naftali Hertz Wiesel. If you ever learn Rav Hirsch's commentary on Chumash, and you see a reference to RNW that Rav Hirsch quotes occasionally, that is Rav Naftali Wiesel, or Rabbi Nathan Wessel, as he was known in Germany. I suspect he's referred to by his initials only because he was a, let's just say, a very interesting person. And not everybody approved of him, but Rav Hirsch clearly does, because Rav Hirsch quotes him. So in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, he writes on Usnat Rabbanut, V'lav Shemazhir L'Gdolei Yisrael Shelo Yu Nesim B'Yisrael. It's not telling great people not to be leaders. Like Rosh Bates said, it's not telling people not to be rabbis. He's taking it a step further. It's not telling people who are capable of leadership not to be leaders. It doesn't say, don't be a rabbi or a ruler. It's saying inside you should hate the leadership. If you need to be a leader, if you're capable of being a leader, you should be a leader. You're obligated to be a leader. But inside you should hate it. Don't, as Yitzi said, don't do it for the kavod. Don't chase the kavod. Do it because it needs to be done, not because. But whatever honor it brings you, you should despise. Lachain, imoved Hashem, Hashem ata. If you are one who serves Hashem, snat ravanut, you should hate ravanos v'gami mikimucha l'rav. Even if they make you a rav or a leader, snat tagdula v'achna bilvavcha. Hate the greatness and be kanabil vavcha and subdue yourself in your heart. The gur lecha pen tikashel ayadea and be fearful lest you stumble because of your position of leadership. If you want an excuse to tie this into this week's parsha and repeat this at the Shabbos table, not that the Dvar Torah at the Shabbos table has to be about the parsha, but if you want it to be. The Aruch Laner, in his commentary on Chumash, Minchas Ani, and I didn't look at the Kli Yakar, but he says that Kli Yakar says a similar idea, discusses the measurements of the different furnishings, the kalim of the Mishkan, and points out that the measurements of the Aron, which held the Torah, are all half measurements. A matayim v'chetzi arko, 2.5 amos long, ama v'chetzi rachbo, an ama and a half wide, ama v'chetzi komato, an ama and a half tall. And he says that the fact that it's half units wide and long is to tell you that you've never finished learning the Torah. You never know everything. You've only have half, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's an amma and a half tall, that is a half unit in the height, is to tell you that a Talmid Chacham has to act with humility. Now, he points out, that a Talmid Chacham is not permitted to be overly humble. A Talmid Chacham, first of all, has to dress respectably, which could also tie into Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah being dressed respectably. Gemara in Shabbos says that if a Talmid Chacham has a stain on his clothing, he is chayiv misa. It causes people to look down on the Torah and on Torah scholars, or on Torah scholars and therefore on the Torah. And Gemara in Sota says that a Talmid Chacham has to have an eighth of gaiva. When we get to Masechet Sota, we'll discuss what that expression means. But Talmid Chacham has to have some level of self-esteem for the honor of the Torah. However, he should not act with gaiva, haughtiness, and therefore the aron, the height of the aron, is a half unit, an amma and a half, to say, cut yourself back, you know, appropriately. That is the Aruch Laner on this week's Parsha, the Sefer Minchas Ani. Okay.
Question.
Yes.
Not to spin off to a whole other conversation, but do we learn that there's a certain amount of self-leadership in this, that which comes naturally to us if we are naturally good at pottery or gardening or whatever it is, that
a person, if a person is given a certain skill,
right.
Some people are good speakers, some people are good writers,
right.
Some people are good cooks. That's presumably what God meant you to work with.
Right, exactly.
For sure.
So, yeah. Might be an interpretation that one should not avoid that particular...
Right, absolutely. If a person is capable, that's what Gemara is saying, that if a person is capable of being a posek, of teaching halacha, of rendering halachic rulings, and he doesn't, and he refuses to do so, Gemara says it's chayav misa. However, sometimes it's not obvious to a person what his skill is. There's a famous story about the Netziv, Rosh Shiva Volozhin, which may or may not be a true story. I've seen reason to question whether it's a true story, but it's a good story anyway. When he was young, he was not succeeding in his learning, and he overheard his parents talking, saying in Yiddish, he was known as Nata Hirsch. Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, in Yiddish, somehow is Nata Hirsch. Hirsch is Yiddish for Tzvi, deer. So his father said, tomorrow I'm going to take Nata Hirsch and apprentice him to, I think it was the shoemaker. And he heard that, and he said, no, please give me a second chance. And he applied himself to his learning. And he told this story at when he made a siyum on the publication of his first sefer, or one of his svarim. He wrote many, many svarim, at least a dozen svarim, besides being the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin and the rabbi of the city of Volozhin. He made a siyum on the completion of one of his svarim, and he said that if I had not overheard that conversation and decided to apply myself to learning, after 120 years, I would come up to Shemayim, and they would say, where's the Hemek Davar? Where's the Hemek HaNetziv? Where's the Hemek She'ela? All the Sfarim that he wrote. And he would say, what are you talking about? I'm a shoemaker. Right? He wouldn't have realized that he would never have known what he was capable of and what he was expected to do. So people do have natural tendencies and should look into where that's meant to lead them, but people also have strengths that they haven't discovered yet and have to work on discovering. Yes?
I'm just going to say, you just had a moment ago that you are the man who will live, you shouldn't feel lowly about yourself.
Correct. Correct. A person should not be embarrassed to be a manual laborer. And many of the Tanaim, incidentally, were manual laborers. Hillel was a woodchopper. Rabbi Yochanan the shoemaker, was, believe it or not, a shoemaker. And many of the Tanaim were manual laborers. They worked half a day and they learned half a day. And then Siv isn't saying that a person should be ashamed to be a shoemaker. But if a person has the capability to write the Sfarim that the Siv wrote, then he should be ashamed to be only a shoemaker. Oh, and the Siv had the capability to be a rabbi in Rosh Yeshiva, and so that was his calling. Tomorrow, Yitz Hashem, we'll continue with the next Gemara, which says, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Gdolim Tzadikim Yoter Malachei Asharet. Tzadikim are greater than Malachei Ashares, which we learn from the fact that Nebuchadnezzar says, I see four people walking around in the furnace, and the fourth one looks like a Malach, implying that the Malach, Malach Gavriel, was walking behind Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. Here's Hashem, that will be tomorrow's share. Good day.